Can I ask a question before I get started here? And I won't be long this morning, so I'm not going to take more than maybe 10 minutes. When we sang that song, can I ask you, what do you mean or what do you think the writer of the song intended when he said, when he invites us, when we have sung with him, him, I surrender, when we sung with it, the song, yes, good. What came to your mind? Did anyone sing it, by the way? I wasn't up here to see, you were. So sing as you sung it, I'm wondering what you maybe intended as you're singing it. Invitation to surrender. That it had a place to go to surrender? Okay. So Wendy was saying invitation, a place to go to surrender. So it's sort of a practice. You keep surrendering. It's not a one-off thing you got. You keep surrendering because you want to. Why do you want to? Because you feel the need. So, okay, yeah. God's plans and purposes are sometimes more important than ours? Sorry. Is that what you said? I don't want to put words in your mouth, like I just did, but. So if that's true, which I choose to believe it is too, Phil, what does that mean then in terms of us surrendering, not to a place, but to a person? What does that mean to you? Yeah, so choosing things that would take up his time differently, and that would be surrendered to the one who does know better all the time. When I hear the word surrender, sure. Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. So invitation to relationship as opposed to place. Got it. So when I think of surrender, I don't know what you think of. I mean, I hear some of it, but I think, this is just where my mind goes. I think, give up, give in. Right? I give up, take me away, like whatever. And that's the image that came to mind. I'm glad you said that. So can we be reminded that being invited to surrender, or giving up and in, we are doing so to a God who's like a mighty wind and it's powerful and knows what's best. So if that's true, then that's what we can do. And do it, I wouldn't say safely, because I love what C.S. Lewis said through Aslan, which is to say our God is not safe, which also Mark Buchanan said, but he is good. He is good. And to surrender to good, I don't mind saying, I give up, I give in, because you're good. I'm having a tough morning. I don't know if you're having a tough morning. It's easy to be up here and for you to think that every morning I come up here, it's fantastic and shiny, it's all popcorn. It's not. It's never always that. So it's always a choice to say, I trust God to, I surrender to, I step into, I give into trusting that he is sufficient for me. Trusting that in a bad mood, he can transform that as I partner with him. It's not always easy, especially when it's happening live like this. But you should know that if you struggle like I do day to day, within a day, to overcome something I'm feeling or a thought I'm having, or that we have a God that we can surrender to. And I'm in the midst, even as I'm talking to you, of making that choice. Last week, we ended our two-part mini-series, Who We Are and What We Do. And that was very intentional, because it leads into this morning, where we'll talk very specifically about a piece, or a, I guess a discipleship tool on our discipleship pathway. Discipleship pathway. All right, you've seen it now 2 weeks in a row. I'm not even going to shoot the image up there. I'm going to see what we remember. What are the stops along our discipleship pathway? Okay, can I just get shouted out? First one, first stop. What? No. So no, we would begin our relationship with God by coming to know him. And that looks different for different people at different times, how that happens. What's the next step in that pathway? We know God. We have this experience of God. Wow, I met him. I need him. Grow. So when we meet somebody, we begin this relationship. If we compare it to any other relationship we have, we're going to take some time, invest in it, and we're going to grow the relationship. There are certain things we do to grow in our relationship with God. We talked about that. What's the next step? Give. Right. So this is us giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure in service of the church, in service of this community, actually, that meets here Sunday mornings, but is out in our city otherwise through the course of the week. And the very last of them is go. You guys are awesome. So go it is. And by that, we don't mean like you have to go somewhere to do something because you're only called to go. We don't understand Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 as foreign fields, because go is present tense, active and ongoing, and it is going, really. So wherever you are having and showing evidence that you know God, that you're growing in your relationship with God, that you're giving out of that relationship with God, and would you like to meet him? Because I know him pretty well. That's what that looks like. So going to San Quintín, Mexico, is one of those ways in which we invite others to know God by virtue of serving them in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been taking teams to Mexico for several years now, working with One Life, One Chance International and their field partners, our field partners, Stan and Marilyn Schultz, who work with local pastors and churches in San Quintín, which is in the Baja, of course, as you know, to support them in the missional work they do, Stan and Marilyn and One Life, One Chance all together. That work, from the perspective of One Life, One Chance International, is this simply: to provide a neutral space for local pastors to meet together, which is Los Olivos, it's a campground, where they can develop friendships among them, which has taken time. In the valley, it's been historically competitive and not very cooperative between pastors and churches. So to provide a neutral space where they can come and befriend each other is an extraordinary act of faith, but then an extraordinary act of courage on those pastors' part to dare to believe for a different thing, which has been kind of cool to watch and be a part of. Where they can be encouraged at Los Olivos and trained, where they can grow a heart and a vision to work together to reach the entire valley for the name of Jesus Christ. From their perspective, One Life, One Chance, they also exist to support local pastors and their people by several things. By building homes for those people who make their application for us to build a house for them through those churches, by the way. That's how those are vetted. By offering vacation Bible school programming, by providing food and clothing and school supplies as needed and as directed by those pastors in partnership with One Life, One Chance. That work, from our perspective as Crossroads Community Church, is to come alongside One Life, One Chance and those pastors and those churches. So we have built 6 houses for 6 different families over the course of the last 6 summers. We have stayed connected with each of those families. We have led vacation Bible schools. We have distributed food at the local dump where families live and scrape by to make a life. And at the Cuarto Rios, which you're going to hear about in the video, where children spend their summer days and longer and more while their parents work the plantation fields. And we have distributed clothing and school supplies and hygiene products, as One Life, One Chance has said, these are the needs we have. It's been awesome. And its transforming power has been mutual. We have changed the lives of five different families, radically changed their lives, and all of the lives that those lives are connected to. So multiply that out, it's well over 100 people at this point. And we've transformed the life of one very extraordinary pastor whose name is Rosa, with that many house builds in that many years. But our time there has also been super transformational for those of us who have gone. There are some inside and outside of the church who have actually questioned the effects of short-term missions, for both those who go on them and for those who receive those teams. But efficacy data, in other words, the research on how effective they are, is really little. Even though North Americans send more than, North Americans send more than 1.5 million people on short-term missions trips every year, there is very little research to quantify those outcomes. Here's what we've learned, though, here at Crossroads. Much like another church in the States, which bears our name, or shares our name, we have observed in San Quintin that competencies give way to faith, organizational position yields to community, plans are exchanged for prayer, hence Flexico, teaching is replaced by learning, and leaders become servants. And we've noticed that these changes have some sticking power in those who go. That team members come back and they get involved in serving the church and partnering in the community. That team members come back and are more grateful for what they have. That team members are humbled by the joy in those they serve who have so much less than them. And then this, I think it is everyone, but that almost everyone who's gone on a team in the last 6 years has either gone back again or is intending to go back. And if these aren't data and reasons enough to continue to serve with One Life, One Chance in San Quintin, here are two more. Focused, 1 week long communities, like the teams that go down, seem to produce disproportionate spiritual growth in us. It's super fertile ground for meeting God and growing in our relationship with Him. It's a little bit like a retreat weekend, or if you're a kid at summer camp. This concentrated time doing Christ-centered work with others is just different from our regular spiritual disciplines. So it stands to reason that the effect on our spiritual lives is also going to be different. And then secondly, focused partnerships. We've made friends of our field partners, Stan and Marilyn Schultz, and the staff at Los Olivos. And we've made friends of our house-build families. We go back to visit these families every year, actually, and stay in touch with them through the year. They know we're coming. They expect us to be there. They aren't just people who we've built a house for. They're extended family. We have taken the long-term, short-term missions view, which is to say, we'll send teams yearly over the long course of time to stay in those relationships because those are extended family members. With that context, I'm going to invite Pastor Greg up and Harv to talk to you a little bit about the video that they're going to share, which is our team video for this year. Thanks, guys. Thanks, buddy. Wow, your hands are warm and big.
Check one. Sorry about that, guys. Thank you, Rob, for contextualizing that so well. There is multiple reasons why we go down, and I get quite excited about Mexico. When I started on staff here about 7 years ago, we talked about what we might do for ministry, and I said, well, I think I might go look into something for our youth to do. And Rob, you're like, why would we do that? We do everything community. Why would it be youth only? So you invited a conversation around how we could find something that would allow us as a community to go and serve somewhere else. And I'm really excited about the results of that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. First of all, I just want to say, if you see other people wearing these shirts, those are the people that went on a team. There was 14 of us that went down. If you see these people walking around after the service and you have questions about what their experience would like, or you're considering it yourself, I've pre-warned them that you might tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, tell me a little bit more about it. Yeah, I think I'm going to turn the microphone over to Harv. We're going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to go and do. And so because we love these people, we show it by going down there and practically doing this. In the process, because it is flexible, because it's Mexico, because doing isn't always clean and pretty and easy, there's some challenges. And so Harv's going to talk about a couple of challenges we had on this trip, and you'll see them referenced in the video, and it'll make a little bit more sense. But Harv, you had an interesting trip down this time.
Yes, I did. It was fun to go down again, and I knew when we were going to be going down that we were going to be attacked because first of all, it's going to change us, and it's also going to change the lives of the family. So I was already watching for these to come and see if I could recognize them. Started off at the airport. First thing we get there, we have 5 humanitarian bags we're bringing down with extra things. So we're checking those in. There was chaos with the staff from WestJet. We ended up, I was running with the last 2 bags to catch our flight. There was a big mix-up. Get to Calgary, and I get pulled out in customs and stop for a bit, and I'm going, okay, what did I do wrong? And they said, one of your bags is missing. And I'm going, okay, is it the humanitarian bag or my personal stuff? So ends up my personal stuff. So, okay, fine. So I knew that was, I already go, okay, that's somebody trying to disrupt what I'm going to do here. So we get down there, they give me $100, and I go out that evening and buy a few clothes. The rest of the gang, unfortunately, were wandering the streets with me. Anyway, so I get, the next morning I'm phoning at 7, I go, okay, got the suitcase yet? And they go, you're not going to get it. I go, right. So I said, I'm going down to build a house in Mexico, and I need some clothes. Okay, we're going up to $500. So you have $400. It's 7:30 in the morning. I call a cab. I'm at Target at 8. I have 25 minutes to shop. I have 25 minutes to buy dress clothes, dress shoes, work shoes, regular clothes, toiletries, and a suitcase. And my wife knows that it takes me 20 minutes to just buy a pair of socks. So I did it. The shoes aren't my size because they didn't have anything in that color in my size. They are bigger, so they're gone. But anyways, we got the suitcase filled up. We got on the bus. We're heading down. I get a call 3 hours in. They found my suitcase. Okay, good. I said, keep it at the airport. We'll get it on the way home. So get down to Mexico. We're doing the house build now. We get on site, and the leader from One Life, One Chance that was going to be on our site had to go. So I'm on my own. We have a home builder, or the home that we're building for, the father there, wants to customize the house. So I know he, and from when, what he's saying, I go, that makes sense what you want to do. I will try to accommodate that. So we're trying to do that. And it had its challenges. Poor Jeevan, I had to call him over. He was doing our roof panels for us. I go, yes, he can carry on. Good, I'm good. I can get this other stuff done to the layout because I was in charge of the house build. That was my portion of this. So, but I'm calling Jim, what does he want? Like, tell me what I want. What, you know, he's interpreting for us because he can speak fluent Spanish. We really called on him a lot. But anyway, so I get the, we ended up getting the house built. We had to get a little help at the end to finish off. We had a few people get sick. Another thing that kind of cuts into your a small team is when you are losing 3 of your members to sickness, then it kind of hits you too. So we get the house built. We're doing the dedication. And we give them a family Bible that we brought down, a leather-bound family Bible, big Bible. And the father clutched that, and he said, with this, I'm going to build my family. Here's a cool thing. God knew this was all going to happen in the first place. When I was packing my bags, I had the Bible. I had a bag of saw blade, a package of saw blades, some extra blankets and songbooks and stuff. I was trying to balance my humanitarian bag and my personal bag with the right weight. I pulled the Bible out, put it in my backpack, and left the saw blades in my suitcase. We had the Bible down there. So God knew it was going to happen, and he made me pack the Bible into my backpack so it got down there. Some of our psalm books didn't come, and saw blades. So at the end now, when we come back, I'm going back to pick up my bag at the airport. Broadway MB Church is there. They're going down to build a house. I said, hey, guys, hang on a few minutes. I run up, get my bag, come back, give them the baby blankets, saw blades. Can you take these down? Yeah. So everything made it down. So, you know, just, yeah, it did great things for our team. It was fun to watch. You know, it was a bit nerve-wracking, but I knew it was, God was in it all, so it was no big deal.
Yeah, thanks, Harp. You know, the one thing that we recognize about doing things together that are challenging is they create community and it create a bond, and it's a unique experience. So every team that goes down creates a unique experience from what happened. We had a bus breakdown on the way down, and it wasn't one life, one chances. It was a rental bus, but already God had that in, he had an answer in store for that, because the air conditioning broke down first, and so we asked for them to get another bus. The other bus was already on its way. So when his bus broke down, we literally had 20 minutes on the side of the road. Every one of our team members came out, helped the bus driver fire everything over. We're all high fives and energetic and cheered up the other group, got into the next bus, and off we went. And so right from the start, I think we recognized there were some significant challenges. But we, as leaders and as a team, I think we just kind of resolved this. I see how this is going to be. And we refused to be discouraged by what this is going to look like. And so out of that came a pretty cool blessing, I think, on this trip. So with that in mind, I'm going to leave you with a verse, and then I'm going to let you watch a video, because it has basically not just us talking, but has our team members, and it has some video that helps explain what our experience was like. Do you have one more thing?
With that bus thing that Greg was going to talk about, the bus driver videoed our team loading the bus up. He goes, he was supposed to do that, and he was just so impressed that our team jumped in and did that, that it made a difference to him. He passed that on to his boss and stuff. And it was just another great example of our team just seeing a need and jumping at it.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about it. And James, I like the book of James, because it's not just about knowing your faith, it's about doing it and showing it, right? And so I was just thinking about this verse as it applies to what we do here. James 2, verse 15 to 18. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or any clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and it is useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. So I think just the practical step of going and doing, right? Love does. And so that's what that was modeled for us, and that's what we did on this trip. And so we received a huge blessing through it, and I think it's mutual. So.
VBS time at Pastor Olsa's house that I was a part of. I think part of what I loved about that is that I was actually right in the neighborhood of where the house build was, and that was the day we lifted the walls too. So as we were doing VBS with the neighborhood kids and singing songs in Spanish that we knew in English so we could sing together and connecting with the kids, we could also see the walls going up at the same time. And the connection with Pastor Rosa letting me know she could be my brown grandma. and just the connection that we actually had there, the kids, just all of it. I think that definitely was a highlight for me.
I wanted to come on this trip to see how different it was hearing from people. They had so much more passion for God, but yet had so little. Whereas up here, we kind of put it on ourselves to fix everything and not pray and seek Him. And so I wanted to see that for myself and see if it changed me and see how I could help. They always made sure we were taken care of and everything was there, and Pastor Rosa would make meals for us and cared for us and loved us, even though it didn't seem like they had much. But yet they were always there caring for us, praying for us. It'll change your life view of people and the gospel.
a part of seeing their smiles is that is the joy and the passion in them for loving Christ, Pastor Rosa especially, just the amazing passion she has. You can just see it when she's singing, when she's talking, and it's just really cool. It's inspiring.
Because they have so much faith and passion to reverse the mentality from what we think. Since they have so little, they care so much for him, but since we have so much, we don't really see out for him because we don't think we need to.
Probably the one thing I enjoyed was watching our team develop into a team. Prior to our leaving, we had just been hit and miss on some of our meetings, and we weren't sure who was going to be there, what talents were there, but just watching them come together and all of a sudden talents and abilities coming out.
This is the first time that I've gone to the church in Francisco, and they had this big speaker, this big amplifier up on top of the stairs, and they would just blare out the pastor's voice, and he would just say, "Kids, mom, dad, grandpas and grandmas, come on in to the church, we're here, come on down." And even though it was short notice, even though they didn't know what was going on, all these kids began to come out into the streets, and they came into the courtyard, and they came inside to do the BBS. Our team did a fabulous job of putting together crafts ahead of time that helped meet that need, and watching Heather share was phenomenal. To be able to capture the attention of 80 to 100 people all in one room, and to tie it all together was really cool. So even on the trip down, there were so many things that would happen that if you let them discourage you, you could get pretty discouraged about this trip. But I think the thing that surprised me is how our team came together. In unique experiences of serving together brought us closer together with us and closer together with the families. And I think for me, what surprised me the most is how God showed up and tied it all together. And I think we had a really good relationship with this family.
I enjoyed going to the Quarterius. All the kids are out there and families are just smiling and they're super excited for them to be there because we just come and play games and, you know, we give the kids a snack and a juice and, you know, they're very thankful and grateful.
When we went to the dump and we got to feed the homeless, we didn't get much time to look because they were doing burning, but from what I saw, there was a house built and the guy said that a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old lived in it with their parents, and it made me feel very bad because that's not a good environment for people to live in.
I play Pikachu, like soccer.
I love the house.
Wow, what an experience. When you go to give of yourself, you know, in the name of Jesus, you receive. I was blessed beyond belief being a part of this whole house built in the soul. It has impacted my life quite a bit.
I enjoy building a relationship with kids. Like, there was one kid named Max. Me and him got along a lot. We played a lot on the build site. We just find scraps and build with them. That was really fun. I enjoyed the church service with Pastora Rosa. That was really good. She was really good at praying, very spiritual.
At one point at the end of the service, my dad asked Pastora Rosa to come pray for us, my brother and I. Even though we couldn't quite understand her the whole time, she was very passionate and it really touched all of us. It was a highlight for probably all three of us. It was pretty cool.
I had like 8 stitches on my shoulder, so I wasn't allowed to like lift stuff or do piggyback rides. Or I think in a way, like my little brother was praying one night, and in a way, he said it was kind of like it's a sign that I wasn't just there to be doing work; that there was other useful things to do, like building connections with the kids. Well, the church service we did on Tuesday night, it was really interesting to see how they do it. They didn't have instruments besides tambourine. It was cool to see, you know, Pastor Rosa sing. She's a really good singer, and the songs were really powerful. Like, you could see the entire church was really into it, and, you know, they'd be mumbling things in Spanish and stuff, and just praising the Lord, which is really cool. We don't see that often, so. It's not even just broadening your horizons, but you also make really good connections with a lot of really good people, and I think it was just a really good experience for a young kid to have, too, even. Because even just seeing Donald running around, like, oh man, he's seeing how other people live, and it isn't just Canada. It was fun to see him wrap his head around that, too. So.
I definitely think one of the biggest highlights of the trip was watching the family enter the house when we gave them the keys, and just watching their faces, watching their emotions, just seeing how thankful they were to see that they got a new house and they were able to finally rest assured that they could have a shelter over their heads for a night and something adequate that would be stable for them. That was just a really wonderful experience to see. And just the emotions from that definitely moved me and impacted me a lot. Just being able to be with the team and do this with other people and go through that process and be able to grow as members of the church together by serving.
Instead of my testimony down there, I come down with a heart that feels like a dry desert. And as soon as I hit Mexico, it was just like the well was filling up. And like I said, it was to the point overflowing so that tears were coming out. That's where God was filling. And to me, that's a great reason for her to come down to Mexico, because the Spirit is free and it just fills you.
I think you should go if you have the money, because it's really fun and you help people out.
It's very inspiring, and it makes you feel great in your heart, and very humbling to see everything that's going on.
Well, you know, for me personally, one of the biggest challenges is trying to take the personal testimony, 3 to 5 minutes each of 14 people, and carve it down to a 7-minute video that kind of portrays their experience. So I would encourage you, if you have questions, to talk to one of these guys, because they've all got a very unique, different experience. And so because I couldn't do that, I'm actually going to make a second edit that doesn't pare it down. So if you want a little bit more in-depth, I'm going to make that available probably within the next week or two, and I'll put it up on the website, and you can hear a little bit of other people's experiences. I do want to give you a sample of just maybe one person's experience, and so I'm going to invite Jeevan to come up here. Every year we kind of have one person just share a little bit more in depth, so I've just got a couple of questions that he's prepared to answer up here. And Jeevan's got a unique position, because he's going back as a team member, but originally you were a volunteer member of One Life One Chance. So when I first met Jeevan, he contacted me and said, "Hey, I hear you're going down to Mexico. Can I come down with your team, and could I travel down with you?" So I met you then a couple years ago, and now you're in community with us, and maybe even out of that relationship in Mexico. Is it a time together in Mexico? I said, I like the way you do life. I like the way you worship, and I like who you are. And so you came in from out of town, and now you're worshiping here with us, which is kind of a cool connection. But yeah, you've got a unique experience. So I'll let you answer, and I'll stop talking. But I'll ask the questions. What are some of the things that you enjoyed most about this year?
For starters, I really liked the talk tonight. That was probably the best. I think one of the great things about going on these trips is that you can build really meaningful relationships with people, and just with people on the team. Just being able to go down there and do life with them, and just to be able to build continual great relationships with them, that was really exciting and really meaningful and impactful. And I think even with everyone in Mexico, just all the indigenous staff and the family that we were with, just being able to, start new relationships and form close bonds with each other. I definitely think that those will be lasting bonds, and I can't wait to go back down there again and see everyone and just build a relationship more that way.
Yeah, we fill up every day pretty full, but after that, we always ended with a good game of volleyball. And we ended with a game of cards, which usually went to close to midnight. And you build a deeper relationship through the experiences, the challenges, and the good times as well. So second question, how did you hear God's voice through this trip? What was he communicating to you?
I definitely think one of the kind of verses that comes to mind, what God was trying to communicate, was Colossians 3:2, where it says, "Set your minds on things above, not earthly things." And I think what God was trying to say to me through that was just how I approach each day with my mindset, and just trying to think that that there's more meaningful things than I think there are in this life, that I'm supposed to serve, and I'm supposed to just be there to glorify God. And I think definitely the trip just really helped me see that through, just being able to wake up every morning knowing that you're going and you're helping a family, you're building a house, you're serving God in that capacity, and whatever things come up. It's Flexico, so, you know, something could come up at the last minute. You're there, and God will use you in whatever way.
And a third question, why does this continue to be a meaningful experience to you? And what would you say to someone who hasn't gone about the experience?
I think it's a very a great experience for transformation. And I've definitely noticed that for me, going down the first time. Once you come back, you don't come back the same person. You're transformed. And every year that I've gone, it's been the same thing. You change in different ways. And it's really neat watching others go down and how they experience it and how it transforms them and how God kind of uses that experience to shape them and just to put other things on their heart. And and aside from that, just watching the transformation of the family, about how, you know, blown away and overwhelmed they are from this experience and how it really touches them that, you know, a team from Canada would come all the way just to build a house for them. And I think it's just overwhelming to see how they react to our trip down there.
I think hope is a pretty powerful thing. If you have hope, you can actually endure through a lot. And I think we do that on two fronts. We connect with Pastora Rosa, who is down there. She has struggles and challenges of her own. And every time we show up with a team full of energy and enthusiasm, we saw her sitting around a table, and the size of a smile on her face when a team shows up and supports her ministry, what she's doing in this little community, and brings resources and brings enthusiasm. She shows her community and says, these people are supporting us and what we're doing. It's pretty powerful, actually. And I think we also bring hope to the family. And that was a part of, thanks, Stephen, I'll let you go. We bring hope to the family. That was a part of my experience this year. Every year is a different experience. But going back to every one of those families and looking in the eyes of their children, because their children come out excited to see you and they give you a hug and they want to see you. And we just bring some staples for them. But they're like, we thought you were going to show up. We knew you were going to show up. I thought you came last week. I thought maybe we had missed you. I'm so glad to see you. Let me show you our house. And the one house we went back to, and it was immaculate, and it was like 2 or 3 years old, the one that Harvey had been to. And it's just amazing how well he kept it. He says, you put so much work and effort into this place, we would never want to make it dirty. So we actually eat in our old place, and we prepare all our food in the old place, and we come in and we eat in this place. And the walls still look like the floor in here. Like, it's just, they sweep it out, and he's got this little solar panel on the roof. And he's got lights in there, and every one of his girls were shut down for the night because we got there so late that night. And they all came out of the rooms, and they all came up and gave us big hugs and looked into his eyes and said, thank you. And so for the very first year we went down in a community that Katrina helped pay for their kids' education, their kids came out, and they all do. They look for us every year. They came out and gave us hugs. And you could just see so much hope in their eyes. And so I think if we've affected five families, we've affected five families, and those kids grow up knowing that good things happen to them and that people love and care, and that the God that they pray to can send a team that can change their lives. They're going to grow up going, I wonder what's around the next corner. I wonder what God's going to do for me, right? So I think it is a chance for one life, I think, is what it is. And so that little girl is so motivated to do well in school because she knows it's an opportunity. So anyways, I just want to say thank you guys for supporting us in that way. It's a big deal to get up and get going and to support. And in a year last year where we thought we had some financial challenges about going, we debated whether or not we would go at all. And we kind of in faith said, no, actually, I really think this is really important. This has to happen. And I thank you guys as a church for supporting both our finances as well as just all the legwork that goes into that. And I'm going to ask Jocelyn Decker to come up. And she's going to close us off in prayer, but I also want to make sure that we honor those that were really involved and instrumental in this year's team and supporting us and allowing us to go.
So we just really, as a team, wanted to acknowledge and just say thank you to the church, because you guys send us and you send us in so many different ways, with time away from our families and responsibilities. Financially, you pray for us, you like us on Facebook, you buy pizza coupons, just so many different ways. And I think we, as we get there, probably looking back, we don't even remember all the ways that people had supported us. And just a huge thank you, because we went on your behalf. you sent us. We were the team. We were the people that went this year, this time. But we were sent by all of you. And that's just so appreciated. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Just thank you for blessings. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us. And thank you for the opportunity that here where we are, that we can come alongside the things that you are doing, and that we can get a glimpse and work alongside you, and that sometimes that involves going places and working alongside where you're working in other places too. Thank you for partners like Stan and Marilyn and their commitment in Mexico and the work that they do preparing so that teams like us can go down and be effective year after year for weeks at a time, and the relationships that are built and that continue to be built and encouraged in that time. Thank you for those opportunities. Thank you for the people here that see glimpses of that and get to participate in that and that send people and believe in that. And, thank you for your love and just your goodness to us in the ways that we get glimpses and get to be a part of that in so many different ways. I pray that you would stir in people's hearts and open those doors and help them to step ahead in obedience and continue to be growing and participating in the things. Help us to be willing to participate and step into what you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity that we all have. Thank you for all that you did and all that you're changing in us all as we go from here in our experiences. And we pray. Amen.
Amen. So this is just a reminder that the initial interest meeting for our 2018 Mexico team is next Sunday morning before the service, 9:30 to 10, in the multi-purpose room to your left, my right. Okay, so I'll be there leading that meeting. We'll take a half an hour to work through the frequently asked questions that we do encounter from particularly those folks who have never been. All are welcome, of course. Just a reminder again that tonight we are at within Naomi's. If you are able to join the team that is descending there, it's taking that and bringing it here, that heart, that mindset, that care. So we're thrilled to be in partnership with Ruth and Naomi's. This afternoon, though, very shortly, we're going to head out our whatever ways we're going, but we have the green space to my left, your right, and we'll do that from 1 o'clock till 3 today. We'll have Bouncy Castle. I think Greg has been able to locate the slip and slide, so if you need to, or if you haven't brought your bathing suit, need to get that, do that. We have a very special visit from Anna from Frozen. I cannot wait. Anna from Frozen. I know. Sorry. Ugh! And I was told that earlier, actually. Okay. Anna from Frozen. That's why you weren't excited when I said it earlier. I got it wrong. So 1 o'clock till 3. Love to see you. Last announcement is a video, actually, to close our service. And the video is around 90 seconds long. It's a loop that, where is Doug? Doug sent me quite a while ago. Well, hi. What? What'd she say? You can't either hear? Nice. Okay, so thank you. So the chairs we're going to set up, this is actually a really cool opportunity to serve this school, right? I was grateful to get it. So they couldn't set up on Friday because we had this rented. And so they said, well, can we borrow your chairs? Well, we won't have enough for 500 students. Can we borrow your chairs? And we'll set up for you afterwards. So yes. We will be setting up roughly 300 chairs, and I would love some help because Tim and I can't do it by ourselves, can we, Tim? Well, you could, but I can't do it by myself. So if you wouldn't mind just hanging back and meet me up here, I'll let you know the instructions on what we need to do in terms of setting up. The very last announcement I'll make, that is a video. I'm showing this to you today because this will now effectively, moving forward October 1st, next Sunday, and for whatever time period, this will be the video, and it has music to it, that when you hear it, you will know that our service is starting very shortly. So it'll be a cue for all of us. That will be, oh, there's that good rockin' music. Don't do that. There's that good rockin' music. That signals the start of our service. So I'm going to show you the video very quickly so that you're familiar with it. And then I'll close our morning in prayer. So hang tight. Yes, one question here. Hold on. Oh, thank you. You're such a good audiovisual person, Patty. Yes. Yes, young adults are restarting this Monday. In fact, if you can email me that, I'll also email it to the church. But that, they didn't take a break for the summer, did you? But they are officially relaunching this fall season on Monday night. Could you stand up for a second, Phil? If you don't know where that's happening and when, see this guy right here, Phil? Say hi to Phil. There you go. So that's young adults, 19 to roughly 25 years or so, or a little bit older, whatever works. So, all right, Patty, give it to me. Thank you. You're going to have to turn that up. I think up a little more.